So what happened to Adam and Hawa? They were in Jannah and they enjoyed the fruits of Jannah. They enjoyed the good things in Jannah and they remained on Allah's command until Iblis came to them and tricked them. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ So Shaytan whispered evil to them. The question is, how could Iblis come here? Well, because he had asked for respite, right? He had asked for the freedom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he had already given it to him, right? So this is why Shaytan was able to come here after Adam and Hawa and do waswasa. The question is, so Iblis did not get out right away? No, look, he got out right away from among those who were close to Allah. All right? Iblis used to be among the angels who were muqarrabin, who were very close to Allah. All right? But after Iblis did what he did and he declared his enmity, he was expelled from being near Allah. All right? And he was free to go wherever he wanted. So what did he do? He went after Adam and Hawa, who were in Jannah. All right? So فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ Waswasa, from wawseen, wawseen, the word waswasa, is what Shaytan says to a person in a voice that is so low that only you hear it, and the person next to you does not hear it. Linguistically speaking, the word waswasa is used to refer to the sound of the movement of a woman's jewelry, yeah, because it's hidden, but you know, like as she moves her hand, for example, or as she moves her head, sometimes you'll hear the movement of the bracelet or the earrings or whatever it may be. It's a very low sound. Waswasa al-qasab is the rustling of the reeds. Okay? So when the wind blows and you hear the rustling of the leaves or the reeds, it's a very low sound. This is what waswasa is. And now the word waswasa is used for the whisper of shaitan into the heart of a person, which only the person himself hears, nobody else, any the person sitting next to them does not hear. So how did Shaytan whisper to them? Either Iblis came and whispered to them very softly, or he whispered into their hearts as he does to us. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ And فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ A Shaytan over here is Iblis. Now, what was Shaytan's goal? To humiliate Adam and Hawa, right? What was his goal? To turn them away from the straight path. What was the straight path here? That they adhere to the command of Allah. Allah told them, do not eat of this tree, because if you do, then you will become of the zalimeen. And Shaytan wanted them to be of the zalimeen, right? And he wanted that the good things, the blessings that they have in Jannah should be taken away from them. So he whispered to them, why? لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا So that he would reveal to both of them, from bad al-waw, reveal what to them? Ma wuriya anhuma, what was hidden from them. Wuriya from waw ra, yeah, wa ra, behind, what is hidden. So he wanted to reveal to them what was hidden from them. And what is it that was hidden from them? Min sawatihima, of their private parts. Sawat, plural of sawa. And sawa from seen waw hamza. Sawa has many meanings. One meaning is a dead body, because seeing it causes a person to be upset. Likewise, sawa is also used for private part, because exposing it causes a person to be upset. Right? So he wanted that their bodies are exposed. Why did he want that? Because this would be embarrassing for them. He wanted that the clothes of paradise, right, or whatever that was covering them, is removed from them. لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا So what did he do? He whispered to them and he outright lied to them. And he said, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا Your Rabb did not forbid you to. مَا نَهَاكُمَا نَهَا from نُون هَيَا نَهِي is to forbid. He said, your Lord did not forbid you عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ from this tree إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ Except that you will become angels. Meaning the only reason why he forbade you is so that you do not become angels. Malakain, dual of malak. أو تكون من الخالدين, or that you become of those who remain eternally. Meaning he only forbade you so that you don't become angels and so that you don't become immortals. Meaning لِأَلَّا تَكُونَ Okay? Now if you think about it, Adam alayhi salam had just been created. And he had seen how good the angels are, how close they are to Allah. So Shaytan basically asked Adam and Hawa that, don't you want to be angels? Don't you want to stay here in paradise forever? At this point, Adam alayhi salam did not know that a prophet of Allah is of higher status than the angels. He did not know that at this point, eternity was not possible, right? And this is why he got tricked by Shaytan. Now, there's a question. How could Adam alayhi salam believe Iblis? Especially when Allah made it so clear to Adam and Hawa that Iblis was their enemy. And Iblis is coming and talking to them, and we see that he swore to them, and he lured them with deception. And he ended up making them slip. So how did that happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already warned Adam and Hawa that Iblis is your enemy. In Surah Taha, verses 117 to 119, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُلْنَا يَا أَدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوُّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. We said, O Adam, indeed this is your enemy and also the enemy of your wife. Whether Adam alayhi salam witnessed that conversation or not is, any, we don't know. The conversation that happened between Iblis and Allah, yani when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Iblis, why did you not prostrate, and Iblis, you know, became arrogant. We don't know if Adam alayhi salam was a witness to that conversation. All right. But what we do know is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam that inna hadha aduwwun laka wa li zawjik. This is your enemy and also an enemy to your wife. فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. So do not let him get you removed from paradise. Because if that happens, then you'll be miserable. إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى. Because right now in Jannah, if you live here in Jannah, you will never be hungry and you will not be naked. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. In Jannah, you will not be thirsty and you will not be in the heat of the sun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told Adam alayhi salam to be careful, right? To not listen to Shaytan. So the question is, how did Adam alayhi salam end up believing Shaytan and obeying Shaytan? Because Iblis did not come and say to Adam and Hawa that you should disobey Allah. If he said to Adam and Hawa, disobey Allah, Adam and Hawa would never listen to Iblis. What Iblis did is that he made them feel that prohibition was not that serious. Okay? So he said to them, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Allah hasn't really forbidden you. It's just so that you don't become angel. That's the only reason. He only told you not to eat so that you don't become immortals. That's it. That's it. He only told you not to eat from it so that you don't become angels. I mean, it's not really, really a prohibition. And it's just a tree. How could eating it be wrong? And Adam alayhi salam had no interest in eating from that tree because Allah had already given him so much to enjoy. But Shaytan drew his attention to that particular tree. All right. And he basically lightened the prohibition in the mind of Adam and Hawa. That it's not actually a prohibition. It's just so that we don't become angels. It's just so that we don't become immortals. All right. And if you think about it, Adam and Hawa knew that the angels are so good and they were already enjoying paradise so much. So then next came what? The temptation to eat it so that they could become angels and so that they could become immortals. So you see how Shaytan did not outright tell Adam and Hawa to disobey Allah. He basically told them that it wasn't a real prohibition. It wasn't actually a prohibition. He made them feel like it wasn't a big deal. In Surah Taha, verse number 120, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The Shaytan whispered to Adam, قَالَ يَا آدَمْ. He said, O Adam, هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ. Shall I tell you about the tree of eternity? Meaning if you eat from it, you will become eternal. وَمُلْكِ لَا يَبْلَى. And if you eat it, you will have a dominion that will never end, meaning you will become immortal. So this is what Iblis did. And then, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا. And he swore to them. He took an oath before Adam and Hawa from Qasim, Qaf, Sin, Mim. And in the name of Allah, he swore that inni lakuma lamina nasihin, that indeed I, to you two, am surely from the sincere advisors, plural of nasih. As if when Adam and Hawa did not seem convinced initially, Iblis swore in the name of Allah to convince them. And the Ahlul Ilm say that this was the first ever false oath that was taken in the name of Allah. And Adam and Hawa did not think that anyone could ever dare to lie about Allah, to swear a false oath in the name of Allah. They knew that Shaitan was their enemy, but they didn't think that Shaitan could be that evil, because they didn't know this is what evil is. You understand? They didn't know how evil Shaitan could be. They got tricked by the false oath. They never thought that anyone could lie in the name of Allah. Subhanallah. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. So he lured them too with great deception. دَلَّهُمَا from دَلْ لَمْ وَاوْ. And he caused them to fall in his trap, and they ended up disobeying Allah. دَلَّهُمَا, he got them down, he caused them to fall from their status, from their position. What was their position? They were far from sin and disobedience, and now he caused them both to fall into sin. دَلَّهُمَا, دَلْ is a bucket, right? A bucket that is let down into a well or something. Okay, so he got them both to fall, just like a bucket is dropped, he got them both to fall. All right. But how did he got them both to fall? بغرور, with great deception. And what was his غرور? What was his deception? That he belittled the prohibition. He made them feel that the prohibition was not really a big deal. It wasn't actually a prohibition. It was just so that they don't become angels. It was just so that they don't become immortals. And then another way that he deceived them is that he swore to them. He lied to them about the benefit of eating from the tree. And, some ulama say that if someone deceives us through the name of Allah, then yes, we will get deceived. If someone tricks us, tries to deceive us by using the name of Allah, then yes, we will get deceived. Because the believer honors the name of Allah, accepts and respects the name of Allah. So where the name of Allah is used, the believer will not argue over there, right? So some ulama said that if someone comes to us and lies before us that I swear by Allah, such and such is the case, then we cannot deny him. We will believe him because he is using God's name, right? It is said that Isa alayhi salam once saw a man committing theft. And when he confronted the man that, why are you stealing? The man swore, right? He said that I swear I did not commit any theft. Now Isa alayhi salam had seen him with his own eyes stealing. But when the man swore that I swear by Allah I did not steal, Isa alayhi salam said, I believe in Allah and my eyes are lying. And if you bring the name of Allah, then I accept the name of Allah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, it is said that once he heard a man say something wrong, and he said to the man that, fear Allah, what are you saying? The man said, by Allah I did not say it. So Abdullah ibn Umar said that my ears have lied. Meaning if you swear by Allah that you did not say it, that okay, what you're saying must be right because you're using the name of Allah and there must have been a problem with my ears. I must have misheard. And when the name of Allah is used somewhere, we don't argue. And this is on the part of the one who honors the name of Allah. You understand? So Adam and Hawa, they never expected that someone could lie using the name of Allah, could swear falsely in the name of Allah. So what happened? فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. Shaitan caused them to fall. He lured them with great deception. فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةً. Then when they tasted the tree, ذَاقَ from ذَوْق, ذَال وَوْقَاف. ذَوْق is to taste. This is before eating. In another place in the Quran, we learn فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا. They ate from it because taste comes first and then eating follows. So what happened? بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Their private parts became exposed to them. Up until this point, Adam and Hawa could not see each other's nakedness. Why? because Ibn Atiyah said that perhaps there was a kind of nur on them, yani on their bodies, that prevented their bodies from being exposed. Or others have said that perhaps there was clothing of paradise. All right, because earlier Adam alayhi salam was told that inna laka alla taju'a fiha wa la ta'ra, that in Jannah you will not be naked. Why? Because in Jannah you have clothing of Jannah, so your body is covered. Okay, so whatever it was, some nur or clothing, whatever it was, there was something covering their nakedness. So when they ate from the tree, badat lahuma sawatuhuma. Now there is a question: who ate first? Was it Adam who ate first, or was it Hawa who ate first? And who told who to eat from the tree? Some Muslim scholars say that it was Adam alayhi salam who ate first, and then Hawa ate. Why? Because Iblis went after Adam alayhi salam, and then they both ended up eating. In Surah Taha, verses 120 and 121, we learn that Shaitan said to Adam, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا. Meaning he went after Adam first, all right, and then both ended up eating. So Adam was convinced first. So Adam alayhi salam ate first, and then Hawa ate. Another ulama say that no, Iblis went after both of them, all right, as we can see in the narrative of the Quran in numerous places, that both of them ended up eating and both were guilty. Then in the Judeo-Christian tradition, it's understood that the serpent convinced Eve, right, who ate it and then, quote, gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. All right. So according to them, Hawa ate first and then Adam alayhi salam ate. Now some Muslim scholars actually agreed with them. Why? Because of a hadith which is in Bukhari and Muslim, in which we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the betrayal of Hawa. لَوْلَا حَوَّاءُ لَمْ تَخُنْ أُنْثَى زَوْجَهَا الدَّهْرَ, about the betrayal of Hawa towards her husband. So they said that this hadith is proof that Hawa ate first, and like that she betrayed her husband, and her husband followed her. And so Adam alayhi salam came under the pressure of both Iblis and Hawa. However, the hadith does not prove this, and nor is it the correct interpretation of the hadith, because the Quran shows that Hawa actually followed Adam. All right? The verses of Surah Taha that I just mentioned, and in Surah Taha, ayah 121, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا, both ate from it. All right? And towards the end, Allah says, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ, Adam disobeyed his Lord. Okay, so the narrative of the Quran actually shows that both chose to eat, and if anything, Adam ate first and Hawa followed. All right. So some Muslim scholars, Ibn Hubayra, Ibn al-Jawzi, Ibn al-Athir, they explain that the betrayal of Hawa that is mentioned in hadith, and this is very important and very relevant, the betrayal of Hawa was that when she saw Adam determined to eat from the tree, she did not stop him. Instead, she went along with him and she ate of the tree with him. And she basically, her leaving Adam to himself at that time was betrayal. When she saw him agreeing with Shaitan, intending to eat, she should have said, don't do it. Allah has forbidden us from this. But she did not. All right. She also got affected by the whisper of Shaitan. So Ibn Hubayra said that every believer who sees his brother doing wrong and does not advise him is basically betraying him. And sadly, this is common in many women, that they do not advise their husbands. They see that it's Isha time, time to go to the masjid, but they don't advise their husbands to go to the masjid. They see that their husband is, you know, financially he's making decisions that may be haram, but she does not advise him. So this is not supporting your husband in his choices. This is actually betraying him. All right. And likewise, for any believer, and when you see that someone is doing something wrong, then you don't say that, oh, I can only support them. No, you don't support them. You have to stop them. If you don't stop them, you are betraying them. Friendship is not about supporting each other and doing something wrong. No, real friendship is that you stop one another from doing wrong. And Allah knows best. And at the end of the day, the main thing is that they both ended up eating. Okay? And both were wrong in doing that. Some people are asking that what if the husband does not follow the advice or does not like it and gets upset? Well, you've done your job by advising. Simple. All right? The main thing is that you cannot say that, oh, what can I do? Because the issue is that many women think that the husband is the one who decides and we follow and obey in every matter. And that is not the case. That's not how it should be. Of course, فَالصَّالِحَةُ قَانِتَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that righteous women are those who are obedient to their husbands, but obedient does not mean that you obey them in everything, even if it's wrong. No. After all, they're human beings. And they could be doing wrong things that only you are aware of because you are their spouse. You are his wife. You are his libas. You are his clothing. Right? So when you see something that is clearly wrong, and you love your husband, and you care about him, then the least you can do is advise him. Advise him nicely. Advise him kindly. Advise him in a way that is respectful. But at least say something. At least say something. And you know, it can even be in small things. Like, for example, you see that your husband is being rude to his own mother. Some women like it. That, oh, finally he's speaking up. No, this is not okay. Even if his mother is wrong, he is not allowed to be disrespectful towards his mother. So when you witness that in your husband, it's your job to remind him. Who else is going to tell him? Is his mother going to tell him to behave now? She can't. He's an adult man. Who is going to tell him to speak respectfully to his mother? Is it his children? No. Who is it? Who can tell him? Only you are in the position to tell him. You can tell him nicely. You can remind him. You cannot stay quiet over here. And you cannot say that, oh, what can I do? This is just how he is. No. Say nicely. You cannot leave someone in the wrong that they're doing. Especially when you can see it. And when you are in a position to advise them. And a lot of women will actually benefit from the wrong choices of their husbands. All right. And then they put the blame on their husbands as well. Like, for example, they're really enjoying the massive house that the husband has bought through a haram transaction, and they enjoy it and they love it. And then anytime that, you know, in their heart, they feel like, oh, but this is not halal. So what can I do? It's my husband's choice. This is his decision. Well, maybe he made that decision because of you, because of your asking him constantly for a bigger place. So this is just something that women need to reflect over, that you cannot ignore and just leave your husband when he's doing something wrong. This does not mean that you are responsible for their sins. No, you are not responsible for anyone's sins unless you have told them to do it and you have helped them in it. You have encouraged them in it. Then you are responsible along with them. But if you have advised someone, if you have made it clear that I do not condone this, I do not support this, then you are not responsible, all right? And of course, a woman should use wisdom, because some women, they begin to advise all of the time, and that is not healthy either. And he's not a child, he is an adult grown man, and he can decide for himself. So you can advise, but don't over-advise. If you are constantly criticizing someone, then your words don't have any impact anymore. In fact, people get annoyed. So be wise. Advise, but don't overdo it. Right? Don't go to another extreme. So this is the interpretation that some ulama gave to that hadith. But the main thing is that both Adam and Hawa ate, and both of them were wrong in doing that. And when Hawa saw Adam eating from the tree, she did not stop him. She did not show any hesitation. You know, the thing is that when you are alone, right, all by yourself, then yes, it makes it easier for shaitan to influence you, right? But when you are with someone and shaitan whispers to you to do something wrong, then what happens? If that companion is a good person, they will stop you from doing wrong, right? And it's difficult to see wrong in yourself. It's easy to see the wrong in another person. And this is why the believer is a mirror to his brother, right? All right. Now what happened when they both ate from the tree? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Their private parts became exposed to them. after their bodies had been covered, now they became exposed. And if you think about it, the consequence of this disobedience could have been anything, right? It could have been anything. Why this? Why such that their clothing or the light that covered their bodies was removed? Because through this consequence, actually, we learn an important lesson, which is that when a person disobeys Allah, whatever that act of disobedience may be, whatever act, whether it is eating something haram or saying something haram or leaving something that is obligatory, whatever that act of disobedience may be, what it does is that it unclothes the inner person. Okay? Yani, your heart has the clothing of taqwa. It is dressed with what? With piety. But when you disobey Allah, what happens? That clothing of piety that the heart is dressed with is removed. It is taken away. And inner taqwa is reflected on the outside. The presence of taqwa in the heart, what does it do? It beautifies the external of a person, and it also protects and covers the external of a person. And when taqwa leaves the heart, then what does it do? It is reflected on the outside also, meaning a person is humiliated on the outside. And here we see that Adam and Hawa, their nakedness became exposed and they felt humiliated. They felt embarrassed. And this is why, وَطَّفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَطَّفِقَا, and the two began. Immediately they both began, يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا, sticking on themselves. What were they sticking on themselves? مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ, the leaves of paradise. Meaning, the leaves of paradise which they found in front of them, immediately they took them in order to cover themselves with them. They did not like being exposed. It was embarrassing for them. وَنَادَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا, and their Lord called out to both of them. Nida. Nida is to call out, any from far or in a loud voice. So their Lord called out to them when? After the effect of the sin became evident on them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reprimand them immediately after they ate. No. They ate, their clothing or the nur was removed, their bodies became exposed, they realized what had happened, they became embarrassed, they felt humiliated, and they wanted to cover themselves, and they took the leaves to cover themselves, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to them. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only reprimanded them after the effect of the sin became evident. Why? Because by now, they had become aware of their mistake. They had now become aware that, oh, we did something wrong. And now here are the consequences. And the fact is that reprimand only benefits at this point, when people see the consequences of their actions. Right? Sometimes what happens is that when children are doing something wrong, while they're doing it, we stop them. And of course, if it's something incredibly dangerous, then yes, we should stop them. But sometimes you have to let your children learn from their mistakes and see the consequences of their own mistakes. Otherwise, they will not learn. If you're always protecting them and you come to their rescue before they see the consequences of their sins, then what's going to happen? They're never going to learn. Like, for example, every weekend you remind your children, please do your laundry so that you have clothes ready for the week. You have your uniform ready for the first thing Monday morning. And they say, yeah, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. But they don't do it. And on Sunday night, you realize that they have not done their laundry. And then you stay up late and you wash their clothes and then you iron them. And Monday morning, they find their clothes ironed and ready. And all you do is that you just yell at them. That's not going to make any difference. What you need to do is to let them suffer the consequences of not washing their uniform on time and to find themselves in difficulty on Monday morning. You have to let them learn, because then your advice will be of benefit. Your reprimand will be of benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reprimand them until the effect of the sin became visible and they realized and they wanted to do something to fix it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا, did I not forbid you to? عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ, from that tree. وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا, And did I not say to you that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ, that indeed shaitan is a clear enemy to you? Did I not say that to you already? Then why did you obey him? SubhanAllah. قَالَا, they both said, both Adam and Hawa said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. They admitted right away. They immediately confessed that we have wronged ourselves, anfus, plural of nafs. And this confession was in complete contrast to the response of Iblis. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Iblis that why did you not prostrate, ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك, what did Iblis do? رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي, my Lord, I wronged myself? No. His response was, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ, أَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. And he went on and on. He increased in his wrongdoing. Adam and Hawa admitted, regretted, and asked Allah for forgiveness. Iblis neither admitted nor regretted, nor did he repent. When Allah asks you that why did you disobey? Did you do this wrong? Why did you do this? Did I not forbid you? One way is to argue and justify and deny. And this is the way of Iblis. And the other way is of complete surrender to Allah. That, Ya Rab, I have no justification. Ya Rab, I have wronged myself. In the world, when a person admits, this leads to tawbah. This leads to istighfar. And on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the believer, did you do this? Did you do this? And the believer confesses, then what will that lead to? Allah's forgiveness and mercy. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا, and if you do not forgive us, وَتَرْحَمْنَا, and if you do not show mercy to us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, we will indeed be of the losers. Plural of خاسر. We have wronged ourselves by disobeying you. We have harmed ourselves by disobeying you. We have done what will bring about our own loss. We will be losers because of what we have done. And the only way to come out of this, the only way to safety, is if you forgive us. If you remove the effect of our sin. If you remove the punishment from us. And if you have mercy on us. How? By accepting our repentance and pardoning us for our wrongdoing. And if you do not, then we are losers. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. مَغْفِرَة is what? سَتْرُ الذَّنْبْ وَالتَّجَاوُزُ عَنْهُ. سَتْرُ الذَّنْبْ, to conceal the sin, to cover it. وَالتَّجَاوُزُ عَنْهُ, and to overlook it, to pardon it. So first they ask for forgiveness, that, oh Allah, you forgive us. And part of forgiveness is that a person is protected from the consequence of their sin. Because مغفر, which is from the same root, مغفر is a helmet. What does a helmet do? It protects your head. So our sins are what? Our acts of disobedience are what? They are a danger to us. Because Allah does not suffer from our wrongdoing. We are the ones who suffer. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we wrong ourselves. By sinning, we put ourselves in a situation where we will end up becoming eternal losers, right? So when we ask Allah to forgive us, what are we doing? We're asking Allah to remove the sin from us, to protect us from the consequence, the punishment of our sin. But they didn't just ask Allah for forgiveness, they also asked Allah for mercy. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا, have mercy on us. How? By accepting our repentance. Because Allah does not have to accept our repentance. Nobody can force him. It is only his mercy because of which he accepts repentance. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, we will be of the losers, meaning in the world and the hereafter. And the fact is that whoever disobeys Allah ends up becoming a loser. You never win by disobeying Allah. Shaitan can never, ever, ever win. No matter how many people he leads astray, ultimately shaitan will be a loser. No matter how far a zalim goes in this world, no matter how much oppression, no matter how much injustice he commits in this world, no matter how many sins and wrong actions he does in this world, individually and collectively, the wrongdoers can never ever succeed. Ultimately, they will become losers. الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. They will end up losing themselves and their families on the Day of Judgment. They will become al-akhsareen, the greatest losers in terms of actions. Because all of their effort, all of their work will end up what? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It will not make it to the hereafter. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. No matter what they have done, their work will not be assigned any weight on the Day of Judgment. So they will be losers. So Adam and Hawa knew, they realized that there is no success by disobeying Allah. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Ayah 121 and 122 that وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى, that Adam disobeyed his Lord and he was misled. ثُمَّ جِتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ, then his Lord chose to bless him. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, and he accepted his repentance. وَهَدَى, and he guided him. So whoever resembles Adam alayhi salam in admitting his sin and regretting over his sin, leaving his sin and seeking forgiveness from Allah, then what's going to happen? This person will have the same result as Adam alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his repentance and guide him. And the one who resembles Iblis in persisting on the sin, justifying his sin, blaming Allah and blaming the whole world, then such a person will only increase in more sin and will only go further away from Allah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Adam received words from his Lord, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam what to say. He inspired Adam alayhi salam what to say. So Adam alayhi salam said these words, and Hawa also, both of them said these words, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. قَالَ اهْبِطُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, descend. اهْبِطُوا from هَبَطَ, هُبُوط is to go down from above. So get down, meaning from paradise. And this shows us that the garden that Adam and Hawa were in was not in the world, right? So اهْبِطُوا, all of you get down. And this is referring to both Adam and Hawa as well as Iblis. Okay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance of Adam and Hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them down to the world where He had already intended to send them, right? The world, which is Darul Ibtila, the place where there's going to be tests. And this is dunya. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it clear to Adam and Hawa through the experience that they had had in Jannah, that Iblis is your enemy. And Iblis will not come and tell you openly that you should disobey Allah. No, he will whisper repeatedly. And he will lighten the sin in your eyes. He will make you feel that it is not actually a sin, that Allah has not really forbidden you, that there's actually advantage, there's benefit in doing what Allah has forbidden you. He will tempt you and he will lie to you and he will be very evil in trying to convince you. So don't forget that. In Surah Taha, verse 123, Allah says, قَالَ اهْبِطَا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Allah said, both of you, meaning Adam and Hawa, get down from here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Some of you all are enemy to some, meaning you all are enemy to each other. Who is enemy to who? Mainly human beings are enemy to shaitan, and shaitan is enemy to the human beings. Now the enmity of shaitan to human beings is understood. It's well known, right? Because shaitan vowed that he will wait on the straight path and come at people from before and behind and from their right and from their left, and he will make them ungrateful and so on and so forth. And shaitan made his enmity very clear. The question is, how are humans enemy to shaitan? Because Allah says that you are enemy to one another. بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. So how exactly are humans enemies to shaitan? When shaitan is the one who tries to mislead and harm human beings in so many different ways, right? And human beings have not made their enmity to shaitan obvious, okay, when they follow Allah. Yeah, so what this statement means is that you are supposed to be enemies to each other. Meaning shaitan has already declared his enmity against you. So you, Adam and Hawa, now have to take shaitan as your enemy. Treat him as your enemy. Inna shaitana lakum aduun fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Take him as an enemy. And how do you take shaitan as an enemy? That you don't trust him. You don't listen to him. You don't get deceived by him. You don't fall in his trap. When shaitan tells you to do something, you do the opposite. When shaitan tries to stop you from doing good, you don't listen to him. when shaitan hinders you from worshipping Allah, you worship Allah. That is how you take shaitan as an enemy. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learn that when the son of Adam makes a sajda, sajda of tilawa, all right, while reciting the Quran, he prostrates, then shaitan gets very upset. He cries and he says, oh, woe to me. The son of Adam was commanded to prostrate and he prostrated. So for him is Jannah. And I was commanded to prostrate, but I refused. So for me is hell. And you treat him as an enemy and you hurt him where it hurts him. How? By making sajda to Allah. Look, you don't fight shaitan by cursing him. You don't fight shaitan by just talking bad about him. You don't fight shaitan by throwing arrows at him, dropping bombs on him. No, that's not how this enmity works. You hurt shaitan by doing what actually hurts him. And that is by worshipping Allah. By doing things that chase him away. Like, for example, in another hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said that the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited, shaitan runs away from there. That is how you're an enemy to shaitan. That you don't let him stay here. You don't let him stay in your home. When you eat, you say Bismillah. When you come in your house and you close the door, say Bismillah so that shaitan cannot enter. When you undress, you say Bismillah so shaitan cannot see. When you take something, you give something, you do that with the right hand. You oppose shaitan. That is how you are an enemy to shaitan. So, بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Shaitan tries to mislead us. We don't go after shaitan to try to mislead him. No, because he's already misled. All right? We don't hurt shaitan by cursing him. No, we cause him pain by doing things that actually cause him pain. By hurting him where it actually hurts. So, اِهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. And for you on the earth is a place of settlement and enjoyment for a time. Meaning all of you, human beings, and also shaitan now. Which is why shaitan cannot go up into the samawat. He's banned from there. Duhura. When shayateen try to go up into the sky in order to hear the conversations of the angels, they're shot at. They cannot go. So, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. In the earth, for all of you, is what? Mustaqar. Mustaqar, a place of settlement. Any place where you remain for some time. All right. And mata'un is enjoyment. And the earth is a place of enjoyment for you, benefit for you. And mata' is a temporary enjoyment, not any something that is of use for some time. And this is the reality of the world, that no matter how good something may be, its enjoyment is temporary. And you can only have it temporarily. Until when? إِلَى حِينٍ. Until a time. And what is that time? That time has not been specified over here, because each person's time is each person's death, right? And that is different. And in general, إِلَى حِينٍ, it's understood that this is, you know, the day of judgment when the trumpet is blown the first time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ فِيهَا تَحْيَوْنَ. He said, in it, you all will live. Meaning you will live in the earth, not on Mars. Not on any other planet. فِيهَا تَحْيَوْنَ وَفِيهَا تَمُوتُونَ. And in it, you all will die. Meaning, you cannot escape the earth. You cannot leave the earth. No. In it, you will live, and in it, you will die. وَمِنْهَا تُخْرَجُونَ. And from it, you will be brought forth. تُخْرَجُونَ. And on the day of judgment, your bodies will be taken out from the earth. Because you will die and you will become part of the earth, and from it you will be resurrected. So this is Darul Ibtila. This is the home which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for you to put you in here in order to test you. All right, let's listen to the recitation of these verses. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا وقال ما نهاكما ربكما عن هذه الشجرة إلا أن تكونا ملكين أو تكونا من الخالدين وقاسمهما إني لكما لمن الناصحين فدلاهما بغرور
فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ قالا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين قال اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين قال فيها تحيون وفيها تموتون ومنها تخرجون.
Alright, inshallah, we'll conclude here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.